He is the columnist for the Register Guard. You can catch his work on the cover of the sports section. Catch up online, visit registerguard.com. Follow along on Twitter, use the handle at AustinMeekRG. Austin Meek joins us. Austin, how's it going?
Hey, Steve. I'm good. How are you doing?
Awesome. Interesting piece this last weekend, the Eugene Marathon, which has grown up to an international event. What you wrote about, a very unique woman, Agnes Gilman. So to start with the basics, you paid her a visit at her home. And for the folks who didn't catch the column, what could you tell us about her?
Well, she's just a really neat person. She's 90 years old, and she entered her first half marathon this year. She's a walker, not a runner, but pretty impressive to be 90 years old and walking 13 miles. I guess she walks every day and never really competitively, but somebody suggested she enter this, and so she did. And that's just pretty cool, you know, to be doing something for the first time in your life at 90 years old. I hope I'm able to do something like that as well. I think we all would like that.
Yeah, I'm hoping to do something the first time when I hit 60. So she walks the half marathon. That was her goal, 13 miles. She actually started walking 13 miles per day. So I guess what inspired her at her age to take up this kind of an undertaking? And do we know how she ended up doing as far as she had a goal in this marathon?
Yeah, she did finish. Her goal was to be under 4 hours. I don't think she quite made that. She was at about 4.5 hours, but she did finish.
Wow.
I emailed with her afterwards, and she said she had a great time, enjoyed doing it. So that's awesome. If you peel back the layers just a little bit, I think the real story with her is, she had cared for her husband for several years. Her husband was having some health problems and was basically homebound. So she was a caregiver. And anybody who's done that realizes just what a huge commitment that is and how much of your time and your purpose goes into taking care of somebody. And her husband passed away a couple years ago, and so I think she was sort of looking for, a purpose in life after her husband passed away. And walking was something that really gave her, an outlet, kind of an escape a little bit, something that she was doing for herself after not having a lot of time for that when she was taking care of her husband. So. And I think she kind of found purpose in being able to inspire people that you can take on new things even when you're 90 years old. So I think she accomplished that, because I've heard from a lot of people who said, wow, it's really inspiring to see what she did.
That was an awesome story. Let's move to the NBA. You got to see some of the Blazer series. Already Golden State and Cleveland are into the conference semis unbeaten. 2 years ago was that first run by the Warriors. Last year, the Cleveland drought ended. It looks like they're on a collision course. So far, are we seeing one of the great anticlimactic playoffs in memory? And is Cavs-Warriors the only way this thing is going to even get interesting?
Sure seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It seems pretty inevitable that we're going to get Warriors-Cavs in the finals. And leading up to that, there's not going to be a lot of drama. I remember talking to you about this last year when Durant signed with the Warriors about this. How this super team thing is, maybe it drives interest from the standpoint that, that particular team with all those stars becomes, this obsession for a lot of fans to follow throughout the year. But in terms of parity and quality of competition in the playoffs, it's really not good for the league. Right now you've got two teams in their respective conferences who look like they're head and shoulders above everybody else, and it's made for some series that just are not very compelling. Some of the other series have been okay. The Houston-San Antonio series has had some interesting moments, but it does seem like it's just all inevitable now, leading up to Warriors-Cavs in the final.
One of the narratives have been, is LeBron James closing in on Michael Jordan for the greatest ever? So, in general, as a sports guy, when these conversations kind of reveal themselves, Tom Brady in the NFL or, Bryce Harper in MLB. As far as comparing a player who is still constructing their resume against a retired Hall of Famer, where do you usually stand on those kinds of conversations?
Well, the Jordan thing, you know, so much of Michael Jordan is, were you, how old were you when Michael Jordan was playing, and what kind of attachment do you have to him? Because for me, I was a kid when Michael Jordan was playing, and nobody's ever going to be better than Michael Jordan. Now, was I watching him, you know, with the keenest eye and, you know, really putting his accomplishments in historical context when I was 12 years old? No, I wasn't doing that. I was just watching the greatest player on the planet. So there's a lot of sentimentality attached to the greatest ever question, because you have so many people like me who grew up with Michael Jordan and, you know, consider him the greatest ever. You know, with LeBron, I think one of the amazing things about LeBron is he's at the age where a lot of players are slowing down, but he's not slowing down.
He sure isn't.
The last 2 years, he's played at, you know, as high a level as anybody and as high a level as he's played at in his career. So, I think you absolutely have to leave that open-ended and say, well, how much longer can LeBron continue to do what he's doing? Because at his age, he's still maybe the best on the planet. And if he can continue this for another few years, then that's just, you know, that's just adding to a pretty impressive body of work that he already has.
No question about that. Let's get to my favorite subject, football recruiting. You wrote last Thursday about Willie Taggart, who's so passionate about it. Here's an observation. He was a fan of this program from afar, be it the uniforms, the reputation. And while any new coach would be really enthusiastic about upgrading from that conference to the Pac-12, he really believes the sky is the limit and that great players want to come here. Is it accurate to say that maybe his sales pitch has a little extra oomph because he's been sold on it even before he got here?
Yeah, I think that's a good observation, that he did sort of see the perspective from afar of Oregon football and what it was. And maybe if you're on the inside, you see some of the, I don't know, maybe some of the challenges or some of the drawbacks to it, or some of the things that make it difficult. Whereas for Willie Taggart, coming in fresh, having just seen Oregon football from across the country, he's got the perspective of, you know, hey, Who's got it better than this? You know, what can anybody else offer that Oregon doesn't have? And I think that's kind of a refreshing thing to hear from the head coach at Oregon. You know, I thought one of the things with Mark Helfrich, he clearly, you know, recruiting was clearly not his favorite part of the job. You didn't have to read too hard between the lines to see that Mark Helfrich's opinion about recruiting was that, you know, it was important, it was part of the job, he certainly did it, but there were a lot of things about recruiting that he didn't like. And Willie Taggart seems much more enthusiastic about recruiting, and I think that comes out when you hear the way the two coaches talk about it. You know, you did hear from Mark Helfrich about the challenges and, you know, the fact that it was a long way from home for a lot of players to come to Oregon. And there was sort of a sense that, you know, hey, Oregon's never going to recruit at the level of Alabama and Ohio State. And, you know, if Oregon just can put together a pretty good class every year, then that's about as much as we can expect here. And Willie Taggart's really come in and kind of blown that up. He's come in with the attitude that, you know, the facilities here, the Nike connection, Oregon ought to be able to compete with anybody in recruiting. And I think that certainly plays well with the fan base. And we'll see over time if it's sustainable, if Willie Taggart's actually able to deliver that. But I think it's a good message. I think it's got fans energized. I think it's got recruits energized. And, you know, we've seen that with the past couple weeks. Willie's been on a pretty good run here in recruiting.
Yeah, it's certainly different. Now we'll see if it's better. Talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. And I do believe there are different paths to success in recruiting. But it's safe to say this staff has gone kind of full-on target marketing. As you wrote, it's like they know where the attention of 17- and 18-year-olds can be found, and these perceived scores, it seems like it's a result of kind of embracing social media and, in essence, talking to these young guys in their language. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I think that's it. I think, you know, there has been a different energy with recruiting, and the social media thing is something that the previous staff didn't really embrace. But it's a space that you've got to be in this day and age, and I think Willie Taggart and his staff realize that. And just, you know, in talking to recruits and hearing, you know, talking to people who have been in contact with recruits, that's one of the big things that I have heard, is that there's just a different energy with this new staff. And, you know, guys who maybe had some contact with the previous staff but didn't really make a connection with the new staff, you know, they've really felt a connection there. And, you know, it goes both ways. I'm sure there are guys who, you know, signed with the previous staff who might not connect with Willie Taggart's staff. But I think overall, you know, the energy that we're seeing now from Oregon coaches in recruiting is going over well with the players they're going after, and I think that's going to be a big part of their strategy going forward.
All right, let's finish with the news from yesterday, this new early recruiting signing period for football, 72 hours, December 20th, 21st, 22nd. I guess that's at the beginning of bowl season. Now, sometimes I ask a question that I have a clue about and might know the answer. Is this a big deal? What are the positives or negatives? Because this is one of the times I'm asking a question because I'm completely clueless.
Well, I'm right there with you. I will say, in terms of positives and negatives, for me, I can't say that I'm tremendously excited about the prospect of covering recruiting news 2 or 3 days before Christmas. That sounds like potentially not the best scenario. I don't see it as being a huge difference, partly because, okay, so you've got one signing day that's in late December. You've got another signing day that's in early February, so it's like a month in between. It doesn't seem like, you know, that huge of a difference, at least in basketball. You know, you've got the early signing period, which is in the fall, and then you've got the spring signing period. So, you know, that makes sense to me. If guys are on board with their commitment, they want to sign before the season, give them a chance to sign. And then if guys want to wait longer and weigh their options, let them sign after the season. Putting an early signing date a month ahead of the original signing date, I don't see that it'll change things a lot, except maybe for some of those players who were sort of on the fringe and, you know, players who typically would wait around to commit until the signing day to see if they get an offer from a bigger school. Now those players are going to be under some pressure to sign early in December as opposed to waiting around until February.
Yeah, curious to see how this goes from theory to practice. But great stuff as always. He's Austin Meek of the Register Guard on Twitter at AustinMeekRG. Austin, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time.
All right, thanks, Steve. Have a good week.
Yeah, you too. Take it easy.